ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد my dear brothers today inshallah the last of the series on dhikr and not last because that is the last of dhikr alhamdulillah there is dhikr of allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no ending but last because these are the most common things that we do in dhikr so therefore I think it's important for us to at least understand those and do them with the feeling and with the emotion and with the understanding that is required and today I want to talk about that dhikr which allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us Generally speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do zikr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna zikra tanfa'ul mu'minin. Allah said, zikr is beneficial for the people. But there is one zikr, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically ordered us to do. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد just think about this reflect on this that this is one dhikr which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically ordered us to do And not only did Allah order us to do this dhikr, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His blessing on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa malaikatahu and His angels and the malaika send blessings on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi. O you who believe, you also send your blessings and salam on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a zikr which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically ordered us to do. And it's a zikr where we cannot compare with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot say that Allah does this, I do the same thing. But in this particular case, without comparing with Allah, we can say this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said this. Allah does this, you also do this. So this is something which is one of the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. The fadail of salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we call as durood, there are many fadail. People have written entire books on this. And there are some excellent books. I would recommend you read them. But two ahadith in relation to this, which I think are more than enough for us to understand the importance of durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first one is, a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to dedicate 25%, one quarter of all the dhikr that I do, I want to dedicate one quarter of that to sending salat and salam on you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do more, that is better for you. He said, this is good, but if you do more, it is better. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, inshaAllah, I will dedicate half the time, from quarter of the time to half the time that I spend in dhikr, I will dedicate 50%, half of that time to sending salat and salam on you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is good, but if you do more, it is better for you. And the man said, Ya Rasulullah, I will dedicate 75% of the time that I spend in dhikr, I will dedicate that 75% of the time to sending salat and salam on you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is good. This is good for you. Now, a couple of things to understand. First and foremost, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say it is good for me. He said it is good for you. So why is he saying it's good for you? The man is sending salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if you do more, it is good for you. He is saying it is good for you because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself sends salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether we do it or we don't do it makes no difference to the Nabi. What can be better than the blessing of Allah himself? So whether we do or we don't do makes no difference to the position to the status, to the darajat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are reiterating and reinforcing and strengthening our relationship with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Nabi who is our Nabi, as we as his ummati. So this is the reason why we send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not Nauz billah to increase his daraja. His daraja doesn't make any difference. So when he is saying to the man, if you do more, it is better for you, this is what it relates to. Sending durood and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for us. It is better for us. Second dalil for this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you send salat and salam on me one time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send salat and salam on you. Allah will bless you 10 times. Now think about that. You are sending durood once on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending 10 times salam on you. Individually. Again, as I said, the whole point of this whole series of dhikr is what? Is to reflect on these things. What is the meaning of Allah is sending salam and salamati on me 10 times? What does it mean? What does it mean internally? We need to sit and reflect and think and say, Allah is sending salam on me 10 times. What is the meaning of this? What must happen to me? How happy I must feel? What does it do to me physically? What does it do to me emotionally? What does it do to me spiritually? What does it do to any difficulties that I might have in life? Allah is sending salam on me. How can this difficulty be there? What happens to the worries and the fears and the apprehensions that I am living under, whatever it is? Allah is sending salam on me. How can I have a fear? Fear of what? Apprehension about what? Allah is sending salam on me. How can I have apprehension? The whole point of this is to reflect and think about this. Third point. When this ayat came of Surah Al-Ahzab, the Sahaba, and this is something very important for us to learn from the Sahaba did not immediately, as soon as Allah said, O you who believe, send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba did not immediately stand up and start doing this or that, whatever appealed to them. Right? For somebody, it might appeal to write a poem in the praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he writes one nasheed, he writes one naat, and he says, this is my way of sending salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day I'm going to read this poem. They did not do that. It's not because they did not know how to write poetry. They were some of the greatest poets were the Sahaba. They did not start any practice. What did they do? They went and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what Allah is saying. Allah is saying, send salat and salam on you. How are we supposed to do it? What must we do? This is the thing to understand and learn from the Sahaba. The Sahaba did not invent things. The Sahaba did not invent their own things. They asked. They said, Ya Rasulullah, how should we send salat and salam on you? What is the way of sending salat and salam on you? Because sending salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Therefore, to send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ibadah. And in ibadah, we don't invent. You ask. They went and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did he tell them? He said, send salat and salam in this way. And he taught them what we call durood Ibrahim, which is what we recite in tashahud. In salah. What is the place in salah where we recite durood Ibrahim? Do we recite it standing up or sitting down? Sitting down. In tashahud. He said, send salat and salam on me like this. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught was Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. We add Sayyidina out of our respect for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he is our Sayyid. The reason I'm saying this, if somebody says Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, don't think that he is doing something wrong. He is doing the correct thing. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. But inshallah al-musta'an, if we add Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, this is not wrong because this is in respect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is what we usually do. So he taught this specific durud. So which is the best of the, now you can say there are many durud, there are many, many ways of sending salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Simply saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sufficient. And that is why the Aima, for example, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, every time you hear the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when somebody is referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not if somebody is saying Muhammad or somebody else's name. When someone refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either by his name Muhammad or by saying Rasulullah, then you must send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means you must send this durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the other Aima, they said, in a majlis, in a gathering, if the name of Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, sending durud on him once is enough. If his name is mentioned again, then simply saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sufficient. But definitely, it is the mark of a Muslim that he does not take the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, I am not making a fatwa on anybody. I'm just saying what is in my heart, which is that if somebody simply says, Muhammad said this, Muhammad said that, لَا حَلْوَ لَا خُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, the man has no adab, he has no respect, he has no knowledge, he is ignorant, he does not know how to address the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone with any izzah, anyone with any adab will not even take the name of his own father like that. I mean, there are people without any manners. We are not talking about them. The ignorant people, stupid people in the world, we don't give their example. We talk about anyone with any, you know, haya. He will not even take the name of his own father, just the name by itself. It is not adab in our Islamic culture. Just to take the name even of an elder. Even of an elder. Even though there is no relation, we do not take the name of an elder. Hafiz bhai is my elder. Ask anyone here if I have ever said Hafiz. Ever. I am not even in his presence. In his presence, of course, I will not simply call him Hafiz. But I am saying, when he is not here, have I ever addressed Hafiz bhai without saying bhai? He is not my brother. He is not related to me. He is not my... Our relation is the relation of Islam, which supersedes and is better and stronger than any other relationship we may have, a relationship of family or blood. A relation of Islam is far superior. I'm just saying that he is my elder. Have I ever taken his name without saying bhai? Mazhar bhai is my elder. Have I ever said Mazhar just like that? In any place. It is ingrained, it is in our blood, alhamdulillah. This is how we were brought up. Our parents brought us up like this. You do not take the name of an elder person without adding something to it. You say bhai, you say chacha, you say mama, whatever. You do not even take the name of an elder person, even if he's not related, doesn't matter. You do not take his name just like that. If you do that, it is not an insult to that person, you are insulting yourself. You are showing what kind of a person you are. You are showing that you are somebody who is completely stupid, who has no upbringing. You were dragged up, you were not brought up. Your parents were stupid, you were ignorant, they didn't know how to bring you up, and you are equally stupid. That is what it means. So imagine what is the situation of somebody who takes the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who simply says, Muhammad said this, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So please understand, this is from the adab of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I and you as Muslims, that we say at least minimum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when his name is mentioned before us. You don't have to say it loudly, but say it definitely. And as far as possible, send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not be stingy. He said, do not be a baqil in sending durood and salam on me. Why? Because it is your own benefit. It is your own. Why would you not want the blessing and mercy of Allah on yourself? So, durud should also be one of the azkar that we do. So, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilaik, la ilaha illallah, and durood and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of these inshallah should be part of our azkar on a daily basis. Quite apart from the tasbih of Fatimi, which is subhanallah, Allah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and the kalima after that, which we do after every first salah, and then we do before we sleep in the night. All of these azkar of the morning and night and so on, all of us know, I don't want to repeat that. But I'm saying as specific azkar, please make this into a habit and do this every single day, and do it in this way, which is by thinking and reflecting in quietness and calmness, not just moving a tasbih, not just counter, not just on your fingers and then getting rid of it. No. Say it once, but say it with the haqq of that thing, because it is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say it only once, but say it with the haqq of that thing. I'm not saying say it 100 times, 1000 times, whatever Allah gives tawfiq to inshallah. The more the better, obviously, because every time you say it, we are getting hasanat. So there is obviously benefit in it. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying get the real benefit of zikr is the effect it has on the heart. And that is what we are focused on. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do zikr as is His haqq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to remember Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every single way, not only by sending salat and salam on him, but by following his sunnah in our lives. The whole point of this is to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to make this easy for us, to open our hearts to the nur and barakah of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives, and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Allah, and to save us from that which is not pleasing to him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.